ナモミョウホレンゲキョウナモミョウホレンゲキョウナモミョウホレンゲキョウ。Hi friends, and we are all good friends. We are all part of this sangha. We are all helping one another, keeping, as the last chapter was, keeping our confidence, our resolve, our commitment, knowing that our chant and our practice, our reading, reciting, keeping, promulgating, copying this sutra is the enlightenment, the awakening of our Buddha mind, our Buddha-ness, yes? Buddha in mind, it actually should read. It's like there's a separate part of the mind that's Buddha. It's a consciousness, you could look at it that way, but that consciousness wraps around all the other eight. Remember my videos on Wu Ji to you and me, the nine consciousnesses. And having said that, just a quick note, yesterday I was talking about donations and gifts sent to the Kuon. Thank you again for all of you, whether financial or even just the purchase of from the bookstore, from mandala store. But I said something that I remember used to confuse me a bit in my early days in Nichiren Doctrine of Lotus Sutra Buddhism, was Nichiren's constant reminder that he would take the gifts that he had received and take them straight to Gohonzon. And that sounds, I don't know, it rings a little confusing if you don't understand that Gohonzon is the Buddha eye. This is very simple. In other words, his appreciation, as is mine, isn't a personal one. It's not, thanks, dude, I really needed these. I mean, that's okay, it's polite, but it's much more meaningful and honoring the journey and the intent of the gift, whatever it may be, is to Buddha-ness. It's to the flourishing and awakening of all living beings. You see, in that way, you could say it's personal, but in a samsaric way or saha world way, it's not personal. You see? It's important to understand the difference. So I said something about that yesterday, that when I come into this school, first thing I do is daimoku, and I'm always greatly appreciative and show my, what's the word? My homage, as it were, to the support that all of you offer in whatever form, even just being here and commenting or listening to these videos or the podcast, whatever. This is all an honor and an homage to Buddha. Something which, when I face my Butsudan and I chant to my mandala, I open that Buddha eye, that Gohonzon, and I let it be known to the Tathagata that there is support here from a genuine sangha of wonderful individuals all seeking Tathagata. So that's what that, see, language can obfuscate as much as it can direct or enlighten, yes? So I just wanted to get that out and make sure you all understood that. Comportment and peaceful practices. Kind of going to talk about it some more. You see the arc of the Lotus Sutra? It's so slowly ramped up from several chapters, I mean, the first nine chapters, about expedient means. You guys haven't gone all the way. You need to make up your mind and get serious. And now, boom, in the middle of this Lotus Sutra, this is how you do it. This is what happens when you do it. This is how, now, chapter 14, comportment and peaceful practices, it doesn't mean how to be spreaders of peace. Peaceful practices means calm down, enjoy, savor your practice. How should you comport yourself as a lotus bodhisattva of Tathagata, of Buddhaness? So further instructions on how we should lead our lives in the practice of reading, reciting, copying, dispersing, honoring, paying homage to, all of the things that he continuously repeats about this sutra. At that time, the Bodhisattva Mahasattva Manjushri, the law king's son, spoke to the Buddha, saying, "World-honored one, rare indeed are such bodhisattvas as these. Reverently according with the Buddha, they have made great vows that in the deluded and malicious age to come, they will protect," here it is again, "keep, recite, read, and teach this law flower Dharma Sutra. World-honored one, how are these bodhisattva mahasattvas to be able to teach this sutra in the deluded and malicious age to come? Certainly, it's occurred to Manjushri that the fifth 500-year period after the Buddha's extinction is a long way off. So even though all well-meaning, all these bodhisattvas, will take care of it, will teach abroad, don't worry, don't you have any anxiety, will take on the mantle, will make sure it's taught in the future, I doubt they have a 2,500-year lifetime. Thanks, Manjushri. So the Buddha addresses Manjushri and he says, "If any bodhisattva mahasattva desires to teach this sutra in the deluded and malicious age to come, he should be steadfast in the four methods." Okay, he's not really answering the question. He's using the opportunity to say, okay, if you really want your impact, your influence in teaching this sutra, here is how you must go about it. Okay, that's a valid, it's not an answer to the actual question, but it's a valid point to make. If we have any hope of getting there, we should be teaching in this way. And certainly, as he's already pointed out many times, your influence will last beyond this life. So he's sort of answering Manjushri, yeah? All right. If any bodhisattva desires to do this, they need to be steadfast in four methods. First, steadfast in bodhisattva's spheres of action and intimacy, so that he may be able to teach this sutra to living beings. Manjushri, why is this called a bodhisattva mahasattva's sphere of action? If a bodhisattva mahasattva abides in a state of patience, is gentle and agreeable, is neither hasty or overbearing, and his mind is imperturbed, don't be easily bothered, right? If, moreover, he has no laws by which to act, but sees all things in their reality, nor proceeds along the undivided way, right? What's the footnote on that? Does not follow out or investigate these laws, but the Tendai sect interpreted the sentence in the sense of not being bound by the law of the middle path. I would venture to interpret that as meaning that you may have to use expedient means. In other words, don't be dogmatic. Why is the other termed, but sees all things in their reality, nor proceeds along undivided way? This is termed a bodhisattva mahasattva's sphere of action. In other words, this is the realm you need to be in as a bodhisattva to be an effective promulgator of this method, this sutra. Why is the other termed a bodhisattva mahasattva sphere of intimacy? A bodhisattva mahasattva is not intimate with kings, princes, ministers, and rulers. Right? You're not looking to be buddies with the spheres of power, the mechanisms of government and politic. On a personal level, if they want to know about the Lotus Dharma Sutra, that's fine. But that's not an intimacy. That's a relationship of parent, sovereign, teacher, right? We're not buddies. I'm helping you discover and learn your own path to enlightenment. Doesn't matter to me if you run the country or if you run your mouth. Doesn't matter. What matters is your path to Buddha-ness. Nor intimate with heretics, the Brahmacharins, Nirgantas, and so on. These are like the Jains, or in other words, don't think of yourself as the great converter. If there are people practicing incorrectly, don't buddy up with them. That's useless. That's a waste of your energy. If they are acting heretically, practicing even Nichiren's doctrine incorrectly, obviously, unless they come to you, you shouldn't have anything to do with them. They're bad friends. They're bad intimacy. In fact, it's not to be intimate, right? That's the point of the sphere of intimacy, because it can delude you, influence you. So stay away from it. That only presents itself as a challenge if they come to you. Concentrate your activities on educating those who are willing. Follow? Nor with composers of worldly and outside literature or poetry, nor with lokayatas and anti-lokayatas. These are heretics who accord with the ways of the world or oppose the ways of the world. In other words, again, these are people who are full of themselves. Oh, I'm a realist. I don't need to chant or do any of that. Don't let those people come to you out of a desire and curiosity about Buddha. You are not the great converter. You do not walk on water. You are not the great authority. You are a bodhisattva. You are the great assister. You are the great facilitator. You are the great source of knowledge. You are the great exemplar of walking the Saha world, conscious, ninth consciousness of the Buddha way. All of those other situations are confrontational. Why make it your business to be confrontational? No need. In fact, dangerous. Yes? It's very clear, a lot of people in groups, they don't get this. They want to be evangelical. But that's not Nichiren. Nichiren had a very specific agenda for the people he spoke to in government. He wasn't being their buddies. Hell, they banished him, tried to kill him. Are you ready for that? No need. No need. Nor does he resort to brutal sports, boxing, wrestling, nor to the various juggling performances of Nartakas and others. Now, you guys well know, if you've been to threefoldlotus.com, that I've spent many years being a teacher of martial arts. And, you know, I followed a lot of those teachings, but my motivation was the mind, the mind-body relationship. And over the years, I moved further and further away. We did no sparring in my school, because everything in my school was about the internal way. And even after some time, I couldn't abide by that anymore. And I focused all my energies on this school of Buddhism. Now, I haven't erased it or expunged it from my website yet. Maybe it's time. I've been thinking about this for the last 5 years. Should I just get all that stuff out of there? Truthfully, it's quite entangled in the whole site. And secondly, I keep wondering if there aren't people who might come to Buddhism via that, and maybe it's an expedient means to keep it on the website, because it's not a direct connection. It's there. But hey, you know what? I'd love to hear from you guys. Do you think it's a detriment to keep that on there? Perhaps I should just remove all of that, make the threefoldlotus.com site purely about Lotus Sutra Buddhism or Buddhism in general. I mean, Bodhidharma was an Indian Buddhist who went to China to help the Shaolin priests, monks, improve their health so that they could be more effective meditators. The connection is there. Am I the one responsible to keep it alive? I don't know. So I'd be curious to know what your thoughts are. Again, talking about the sphere of intimacy. Nor does he consort with Kandalas, one who kills, a butcher, fisherman, hunter, and so on. In other words, we know this from the Eightfold Noble Path, right? In fact, I almost started this lecture talking about comportments being very much the evolution of the Eightfold Path. Not to say that if you go fishing to feed your family or yourself, that that's terrible. What we're talking about here is people who profit from it. Keepers of pigs, sheep, fowl, and dogs, hunters, fishermen, and those engaged in these deluded and malicious pursuits. Again, understanding that these are done either for pride, right? Throw away the animal and put the head on the wall. Ugh. Egregious disrespect for life, yeah? But if you feed your whole family for a winter on the killing of an elk, then you're doing the honorable thing. You're keeping your family alive. You're part of the cycle of life on the Saha world. There's a big difference in, and I'll say it again, Buddhism is about attitude and intent. What are you doing that for? And a bodhisattva doesn't want to be buddied up with somebody who profits from killing. Whenever such people as these sometimes come to him, because they're in society, right? He teaches the law to them, expecting nothing in return. In other words, hold fast in what your mission is. Hey, you want to come hunting with us this weekend? No. I believe that to be an act of murder and a delusion of earthly desires. It's against my every principle. Okay, you don't need to preach to me. This guy, good, go away. But you've planted a seed, whether you know it or not. Just don't expect the guy who invited you on the hunt or the gal who invited you to whatever hunt that the following week she's going to come running up to you and go, hey, tell me more about that. Hey, it might happen, but don't have that expectation. What you're doing is your comportment represents your mission. You're not superior. You know, you're not saying, oh, you little people killing and murdering. None of that. It's just, for me, that goes against all my principles. Maybe it's that simple. Just honor and keep the dignity of the Lotus Sutra in your heart all day. That's what that's about. That's your comportment, right? Further, he does not consort with bhikshus, bhikshunis, and male and female lay devotees who seek after sarvakaship. Nor does he address them, neither in a room, nor in a place or place of promenade, nor in the hall does he dwell or stay with them. Right? Nichiren talks about this all the time, right? Because he was faced with it in Japan. You don't go to a meeting place where, oh, look, all the different kinds of Buddhists are here. Let me go buddy up with them. No. By doing that, you are, remember your dignity. This is the ultimate teaching of Buddha. By consorting with these lesser vehicle Buddhists, whose goal is the lesser vehicle, you're putting a stamp of approval on them. Yes. Again, I'm not saying we're superior. I'm saying take your practice that seriously, that you would not want your reputation sullied by consorting with this whole bunch. What if you're not a Buddhist and you see this Buddhist gathering and, oh, that's all these different kinds of Buddhists. I mean, why don't I see anybody from the Nichiren school here? Oh, well, they think they're better than everybody. You know, they don't come to these meetings. If I heard that, being a non-Buddhist, I'd search them out. I'd think, oh, interesting. They're not playing the punch bowl game. They must know something that the rest of these don't. I'm curious. That's who I'm seeking out. I'm not going to the party. Do you see how it works? Dignity. Not John dignity, not Sylvain dignity, although that comes with the package. The dignity of what it is you are pursuing and doing. Buddha. Is Buddha a party animal? No. And yet he draws great crowds, right? Unfathomable crowds. I have an annotation here. This brings up an admonition to Lotus Sutra Buddhist practitioners, and perhaps more so with Nichiren practitioners, to stay clear of other schools of Buddhism as well as other institutions of religions. This is no doubt a twofold caution. Firstly, to remain uninfluenced, as this chapter would suggest, by the rampant manipulations of deluded people and their realms of cravings and clinging, and secondly, to avoid giving them false credence of having your agreements or support. What's the name of this chapter? Comportments. How should you behave in the Saha world? It's all a reflection of, you've heard this word reflection a lot, your environment is a reflection of your Buddhahood. Keep this in mind. As comportments go, it is this vigilance of mind that the Bodhisattva must keep alert in forbearance and perseverance to remain in neutral but focused practice, always representing the teachings of the Lotus with dignity and respect. Thank you, Sylvain. An additional concern repeated here is the idea that all teachings of the priori law of the Lotus is to be done in benevolence for the liberation of other living beings without any exception or remuneration or exchange of any kind, lest the teaching become some sort of currency and thereby defiled in its intent. I've seen this happen a lot with sex. Oh, it's not spoken of that way, but that's what it is. If at any time they come to him, this is not me now, If at any time, at times, they come to him, he takes the opportunity of teaching the law, expecting nothing in return. Now, they may offer donations or food and so forth. That's why you take that straight to your Buddha eye, because this enables you to continue. You don't take it personally. You say, hey, well, $20, wow, thanks. You know, I'll buy a cup of coffee. No, thank you for supporting the Lotus Sutra. I am a mere messenger of the Lotus Sutra, right? You're not being paid for teaching. You're being given money to support your continued effort in the Lotus Sutra. It may seem subtle. Again, attitude, intent, it's everything. Manjushri. Again, a bodhisattva mahasattva should not teach the law to women. Hold on, ladies. Let me read the whole sentence. Should not teach the law to women displaying an appearance capable of arousing passionate thought. Hey, you want to know a little something about the Lotus Sutra? No. Okay. Some of you are going, really, Sylvain? But I want you to understand. People do this. How about I come over later and we could chant together? No. I'd like to come over and chant with you. Would you find that of help? Always dignity, respect for the lotus. Nor have pleasure in seeing them. Don't ogle them when you come to their house. I don't care if they're wearing a teddy. And you'll hear more about this as we read on, because it could happen. And the exhortation is to stay firm in your single-minded focus on Buddha. Or just leave. If the situation permits, oh, I can't do that. I appreciate that you're a loving being, but your love is misdirected. Follow the law, not the person. That doesn't mean offer your negligee to mandala. It means get your head right. That's not what this relationship is about. Attitude and intent. Another note from me. Notice that in the early days of Buddhist teachings, monastic buildings were created to isolate the sexes physically in order to quell this intrinsic mechanism of breeding, attractions, etc. With the latter teachings of the Mahayana and culminating in the Lotus Sutra, we are now free to roam the land, however, to remain ever vigilant of our physical tendencies. Not only to maintain our mindful focus, but equally, and perhaps more so, to prevent misleading those we encounter. Don't forget what you're doing, Bodhisattva. If he enters the homes of others, he does not converse with any girl, virgin, widow, and so forth, nor again does he become on friendly terms with any hermaphrodite. Now, flip this script for the ladies, okay? I know he's adopting a male voice, but he's talking to both good sons and good daughters. He's just addressing Manjushri here, who's obviously a male. So his tone is, and his pronouns, they're all about he. But please take a moment to see that for yourself, ladies. It's the same exhortation, right? You're not going to go proselytize the Lotus Sutra at Chippendales. That is, you shouldn't. Yes? There's no dignity in the Lotus Sutra to doing that. That's, you get it, yes? He does not enter the homes of others alone. That's a good way to protect yourself. Go with a partner, male or female. In fact, having both sexes enter the home at the same time might be a really good protection measure. You might learn something. If for some reason he must enter there alone, then with single mind he thinks of the Buddha. There it is. Remember what I'm here for. Remember what I'm here for. Remember what I'm here for. Stay vigilant in mind. Attitude intent. Attitude intent. If he teaches the law to women, he does not display his teeth in smiles, nor let his breast be seen, nor even for the sake of the law does he ever become intimate, how much less for other reasons. How ridiculous would it be if a guy took off his shirt and his clothes and say, I'm going to take you to Butsudan. I'm making fun, but really, it is that much of an insult, yes? Oh, my mind, even think about this stuff, my mind goes to dark places. You understand what he's saying, right? He takes no pleasure in keeping young pupils, shramaneras, and children, nor has he pleasure in being with them as teacher. But ever preferring meditation and seclusion, he cultivates and controls his mind. That doesn't mean Pratyekabuddha. That doesn't mean go off and search Satori, as we talked about last time. Simply that you have to maintain the proper attitude and intent of a representative facilitator of Lotus Sutra practice. If that starts to decay, go right back to Buddha or leave. Because you will defile the teaching. Why would you want to do that? Incredible importance on this point. Manjushri, this is termed the first grade or sphere of intimacy of a bodhisattva. Further, a bodhisattva mahasattva contemplates all existences as empty appearances as they really are. Right? Question yourself. If you're being influenced, if your mind is going, go back to the pillars of the teaching. What am I so attracted to? There's nothing there. Why am I being drawn to Darakuten Omao is filling my head with stupidity? Mara, it's working me. Right? Neither upside down, nor moving, nor receding, nor turning, just like space of the nature of nothingness. Cut off from the course of all words and expressions, unborn, not coming forth, not arising, nameless, formless, really without existence, unimpeded, infinite, boundless, unrestrained, only existing by causation, moment to moment to moment to moment, and produced through perversion of thought. The idea that there's something there to be gotten. Ah, there's samsara. Something there to want, to have, to possess. That's samsara. That's you just got out of Buddha-ness. Whoops. It happens quickly. Be aware. Therefore, I say constantly to delight in the contemplation of things or laws, such as these is termed a bodhisattva mahasattva's second sphere of intimacy. That's interesting. Sphere of intimacy. Thereupon the world honored one desiring to proclaim this teaching over again spoke it thus in verse. If there be any bodhisattva who in the future deluded and malicious age with fearless mind desires to teach this sutra, he must occupy his proper sphere of action and his proper sphere of intimacy, constantly avoiding kings and princes, ministers and rulers, brutal and dangerous performers, kandalas, heretics, brahmacharins, nor does he consort with men of arrogance who are fond of studying the Tripitaka of Hinayana, with commandment-breaking bhikshus, arhats only in name, or with bhikshunis fond of jocularity, or with female disciples who, through sensuousness, seek present nirvana. He consorts with none of them. But if such people as these, in goodness of mind, come to the bodhisattva to hear the Buddha way, then the bodhisattva, with fearless mind, cherishing no expectations, should teach the law to them. As you've heard me say over and over again, if people come to you curious about the Lotus Sutra, then by all means, but be watchful. They may use that as a ruse. Humans are clever. Be mindful of your comportment. This is truly a teaching for a lotus bodhisattva, because a lotus bodhisattva isn't confined to a monastery. A lotus bodhisattva is a bodhisattva who courses in the Saha world. And you're going to be faced with this daily. Widows and virgins and all sorts of eunuchs, he never approaches for close friendship. Nor does he consort with butchers and meat mincers, hunters and fishermen who slaughter for gain. Those who vend meat for a living and procurators with such people as these, he should not consort. So I have a note here. Here is an obvious reference back to the Noble Eightfold Path, as we will see repeated for other vocations or professions entailing improper influences or prohibitions. It is important to note, It is important to note that there are always exceptions. The point is to remain uninfluenced and to be cautious of the influence of others. Continuing, with brutal wrestlers, amusements and plays, whores and so forth, he should have no intimacy whatever. Oh, you're a pro football player. That's nice. I have things to do. Bye. Stick around, I'll show you some violence. No, not interested. He should not alone, in a screened-off place, teach the law to women. Again, the power of sensuous intimacy is again brought up as a very strong samsaric drive, yes? It's not that you can't have sex. Is that you can't do it with the pretense of teaching the Lotus Sutra. That's the defilement of the teaching. Clear? If he has to teach the law to her, he will avoid jocularity. No matter how much she wants to have sex with you, or he wants to have sex with you, you maintain dignity and respect for the teaching, or leave. When he enters a hamlet in quest of food, let him take along another bhikshu. Travel in pairs. If there be no other bhikshu, let him with single mind think of Buddha. Be really, really focused about your behavior, even down to the look of your eye, the smile, right? Beware that you don't entice others to misunderstand what you're doing. That may be hardest of all. These then are what are called the spheres of action and of intimacy. Maintaining these two spheres, he can teach with peace and joy. Now we get to the second part of the title. If you can maintain this dignity and respect for the teaching, then things will become easy. You won't be mired in the wars of thoughts and desires and samsara. It's pretty obvious in writing. In practice, you may have to do little bits at a time, right? Be careful of what you represent when you're in the public, even by yourself, right? And if, again, he does not observe the laws, higher, middle, or lower, active or passive, laws real or unreal, also, if he does not discriminate, this is a man or this is a woman, if he discovers no laws, nor recognize, nor sees them, this then is called the bodhisattva's sphere of action. All laws or things are empty and non-existent, without permanence, neither beginning nor ending. This is named the sphere to which wise men resort. Everything's happening moment to moment to moment to moment to moment. No permanence anywhere. The perverse discriminate all laws as either existing or non-existing, real or unreal, produced or non-produced. Let the bodhisattva abide in seclusion, cultivate and control his mind, and be firmly fixed and immovable as Mount Sumeru. Does that mean being alone? No, that's about your mind being unswayed, unpulled, uninfluenced. Be a solipsistic, as much as that word can be close to what I mean, while in the group. There's a word in Japanese, and I've used it as a suffix to my name in many in books and other places. For a bodhisattva amongst the people, they call it nyudo. And to me, that's what we all are. We are all dedicated students, monks, dedicated to the bodhisattva way, which this is the rule book, while maintaining our place in society. The toughest practice of all, right? The easy part of the practice is illuminating our Buddha-ness, opening that Buddha eye. Namo myo renge kyo, just did it. Now maintain that open eye 24/7. Not so easy. Contemplating all laws as though they were not, as if they were space, without solidity, neither produced nor coming forth, motionless and non-receding, ever remaining a unity in each moment, moment to moment to moment. All laws, all experiences, all dharmas are momentary instantiations of potential. If you see them as potential, then they don't have to grab you. It's a choice, and you can make a choice to be secluded, unimpaired, uninfluenced, unperturbed. Imperturbed, you heard him say it. That's what it means. This is named the proper sphere of intimacy. Think of the sphere of intimacy as sort of a force field that, like a lens that lets your mind observe constantly the unreal samsaric bubbles unaffected. See it for what it is. If any bhikshu after my extinction enters this sphere of action and sphere of intimacy, when he teaches this sutra, he will have no timidity or weakness. When the bodhisattva at times enters a quiet room and in perfect meditation contemplates things in their true meaning and rises up from his meditation to kings of nations, princes, ministers, and people, Brahmins and others, reveals, expounds, and teaches this sutra, his mind shall be at ease and free from timidity and weakness. If you can hold on to this enlightenment, this open Buddha eye, and see reality for what it is, the sparks from a sparkler, yeah? Manjushri. This is called a bodhisattva's steadfastness in the first method. He is then able in future generations to teach the Law Flower Dharma Sutra. In other words, this is the influence, this is the history, this is the projected influence of the correct practice. Right? Not an easy task. A high bar. Has he really answered Manjushri's question? No, but he sure used it as an opportunity to make everybody who vowed to keep this in future ages think about what they're saying. That's it for this reading. This is a longer chapter, but oh man, is there a lot of information in it. You could take that chapter and make a book of it just as something to review every day. At night when you go to bed and you're doing gangyo, read through it and see, am I measuring up? Oh, yeah, I guess that does refer to that. Man, this isn't as easy as I thought, right? Anyway, I wish you all the success in your practice. I know that you can do it. I know that you are doing it being here. So I have to thank you once again for your support, for your practice. Every means of support that comes into this sangha, this school, I'm quick to appreciate and report to Buddha Tathagata the fine work that the sangha is doing. All the links in the description, you know what to do. With great appreciation and thanks, take care of your health, please. Keep your practice strong, and we'll continue with this chapter in the next one. Bye for now.